Aren't you glad Jesus is our King forever?
Amen.
Always and ever. Praise God. I got something I want to share with you all tonight. That dear to my heart. So get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, you can't go wrong with Hebrews chapter 11. I could just say Hebrews chapter 11. We need to go. Good night. God bless. Now, I want to share a message tonight about faith, but I'm going to come about it a little different approach. First, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you tonight. I just believe you that, Lord, the words that I speak tonight, that they are anointed of you. They're your words, and they're going to come out of my mouth. And, Lord, that faith is going to be birthed in here tonight. And that, Lord, this awesome group of people here, those listening, Lord, I just declare that tonight that something breaks forth and becomes anew and alive in them. No matter how many times we've read this chapter, Lord God, I just declare tonight is a different night. Tonight's a new beginning of just great and glorious things in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for it. So Holy Ghost, just make it happen. Make it happen right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I know that y'all have heard millions of messages about faith. And you've heard millions of messages probably from me about faith. But tonight I just want to look at something a little different. You know, there's a lot of Christians in the world today, all over the place. You got to remember, it's not all American, right? It's Christians are Christians everywhere. And they believe in God. And they believe God is. And they believe God's real. And they believe Jesus is real. They believe his blood's real. They believe when they die, they're going to go to heaven. And but past that, it gets into this gray area in their lives. It's an area of, you know, not really being able to have full confidence that when they pray, their prayers are going to be heard. When they pray, that God is going to answer, is going to move. I learned quickly in life as I was been walking with the Lord that sometimes I'm praying for the wrong thing. You know, sometimes I'm praying for, God, give me the money to, you know, get my truck fixed. When there may be some other whole scenario in the thing that I've not thought about, when I really should have been praying, God, what do you want me to do? Because he may wanted me to call somebody, and I didn't really want to call somebody because I had some pride issues I was dealing with. So God said, hey, I'll use this opportunity to work a little pride out of Robert. And that then I was going to call this person, and that person was going to say, well, look, I don't know, but I know this one. And then we get, goes over there and he gets that person. And then that person said, you know, it's so funny. I've had this part sitting over here forever, and I didn't even, had never used it. You know, let me go do this. And then I had a relationship with that guy. And then, you know what I'm saying? Because we think in our minds, we try to think the scenario out. We try to say, well, Lord, just give me the money and I'll go down to the auto parts store and buy the part. Right? And then there's been other times that our faith had limited us to us. We were just laying hands on the truck and just praying over it. Oh, God, fix it. Right? Make it work supernaturally. Just make this sucker run. Just do whatever, you know? Well, we forget that God's not ever going to violate his own laws that he's put into place. So in order for that to take place, a creative miracle would have to take place, you know, because if there's a broken part, it has to be fixed. So somewhere or another, there had to take some creativeness. And I'm not saying God couldn't do a creative miracle. I'm just saying it almost would take more faith to believe God for the creative miracle than it would be just to believe God to hear his voice of what you want, what you're supposed to do and follow his path. But we're not good at that. We're not good at being sheep. You know what? We're just not good at it. We human beings, we are just not good at it. But ever so often you find segments and sections and groupings of people who will be sheep. And they'll hear the voice of God. And when they hear the voice of God and they start walking in that, Well, then all of a sudden, things start to happen. Okay? Now, the easiest, best way to see anything happen with God is it's just you happen to step into the middle of it. In other words, God's wanting to do something and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time and show up and God's moving and you just, all you've got to do is keep your mouth shut and don't mess it up. Right? I mean, that's really all has to take place. God's going to do it. We talk about revivals. Oh, God, send revival, send revival, send revival. But when God does a revival, I'm not talking about, you know, you got the biggest dog and pony show, you got the best sound system, the best band, the best whatever, and people start coming to church and you're doing it. See, that can all be man-made, playing upon the emotions of the people, right? But when God's doing it, it's like it's an impossibility because they're not that good, but God is just doing something, and people are just getting saved and touched and blessed and you know. Like, if you go back and you look at a lot of preachers today, a lot of us got saved in the 80s. Between 82 and 88, there was a lot of people got saved, called out of the midst of the hell of their lives, got saved in those areas, and God called them into the ministry. I don't know why, but God does, for a time and a purpose, okay? So, you know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of miracles, the gift of the Spirit will say, I've operated in the gifts of the Spirit. Know that the gifts of the Spirit are real. I know it's real. Don't deny the power of God. You know, it's real, but I also know that I can't make it happen. It's either God moving and I'm going to flow with Him, okay, or I've got to operate in faith. That's the only two choices in life. And if great faith comes upon you and you speak to mountains and they instantaneously move, glory to God. Praise God on high. Man, jump, hallelujah, shout, kill the fatted calf. You know, eat, drink, and be merry and rejoice because God has miraculously done a great miracle, right? But honestly, you didn't have anything to do with it. When you go back and you look and you go study 1 Corinthians 12 and you look at the gifts of the Spirit, you don't really have anything to do with those other than functioning in it. Like, in other words, you can't flow in the gifts of a word of knowledge unless you say something. Right? You can't function in the gift of tongues or interpretations unless something comes out of your mouth. You can't go to church, come back, and say, well, we had a great service. Yeah, I was operating in the gifts of the Spirit, you know. But you didn't say anything. You follow me? There's a certain part of an element of all the gifts of the Spirit that you have to lay hands on the sick, but you don't have to lay hands on the sick. God could just be moving in the gift of miracles. But if God says, go lay hands on the sick, and you do, and the miracle takes place, well, I'm just telling you, you didn't have anything really to do with it. It wasn't the abundance of your faith and operation that made it happen. It was the gift of the Spirit flowing and moving, and you just happened to step on the bus. You follow me? But outside of the gifts of the Spirit in operation, what God has called all of us to walk in and day out is faith. And you can go and you can dissect it and you can look at everything, but really, let's just read verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you look up the Greek on this, and it basically means the setting in place. Substance means the setting in place, that which is a foundation, it's firm, which has actual existence. In other words, the faith is the substance of what you've been hoping for. It's when it comes to such a knowledge on the inside of you, faith is birthed on the inside of you, that you know that that's the way it's going to go, no matter what anything that you're looking at with your natural eyes is saying. Prior to entering into that, it's hope. Now, the Bible says hope's an anchor to your soul. So hope is important. But as long as there's a doubt on the inside of your mind that it's going to happen, you're still in hope. It goes back to the old deal. You're just a hoping and a praying. Right? It's not faith. Faith means you know it on the inside of you. Now, the more you operate in faith, and let's just use finances, for instance. The more you operate in faith for finances, and God has showed you, and He speaks to your heart, and you give, and when you give, all of a sudden there's a return that comes back, and then you know that God gave you that return, and then you, by faith, you God, what do you want me to do with that? And you keep doing this, and you keep seeing things happen like that. After you've done that for a long time, it gets to be second nature. In other words, you're walking around with an open check, but just wanting to write a check to do whatever God's saying, because your faith is so built up on the inside of you, seeing God move so much, all you know you need to hear is God. Let me take a side note. You can give, and there's always going to be a return. If you give with the right motive, okay? There's always going to be a return. But if you gave based upon what you thought, even though it was good work, there will be a return on it. But it may take longer than when you gave, but when you heard the Spirit of God speak to you. Okay? When you give, knowing that God He's spoken to you, and you move in faith, you're going to see something happen. Hello? Like, my wife always gets me into these things. She'll say, I think we need, you know, we need to give this or give that. And I really didn't have any faith for it. So I just look at her and say, well, you know, man, you're my helpmate. You're 50% of everything that goes on around here. So bless God, I'm going to trust you on this one. And I'm going to get in faith with you. Join my faith with you, and we're going to agree. But I'm kind of just a hoping and a praying in that sense. You know what I mean? Because I didn't really hear God say it, but I trust that she did. So therefore, I know it's going to be good. So I'm moving in that. You follow me? And God always blesses. But I've given before, of compassion, given of whatever, and it really wasn't a directive of God, and it took a while, but I was blessed. It all came around, but it took some time. That's why I'm always interested in the things that God's speaking to me about, because I know that one of the gifts in my life is giving, and so I want to hear God's voice, because I know when He tells me to give something, I'm going to see something big come quick. All right? But I know it because I've operated in it for so long. When I was broke and had nothing, and God began to show us this principle, we're talking over 30 years of just operating in the principles of God over and over and over again. Now, there's other people who, you know, their faith is strong for healing, or their faith is strong for freedom prayer. Listen to me. If you're going to go into freedom prayer, and I'm just going to use Lex as an example, he's not in doubt that you're going to not get blessed. He's not sitting there, because why? He's been operating in for so long. He's been seeing God move. He's been seeing the miracles happen. He's been seeing people get touched. He's been seeing people, you know. And like, for me, I would be sitting there. I got to be honest with you. I would be sitting there in the third chair saying, oh, God, come on, do something, Jesus. Speak to Him. Lord, oh, Jesus, I'm believing You, God. Come on. Because that's not where I'm at. You see what I mean? That's not what I've been operating in. Walk up and tell me we need $300,000 to build a church? I got no problem. I'm not scared in the least. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. Are you with me? I mean, it doesn't even bother me. It's like $300,000. What's $300,000? There was a day and time that $30 was huge. $30 would have been a huge thing for me to believe God for. And I'm not saying this in arrogance. I'm just telling you, when you walk in something habitually, your faith gets built. Praying for salvation for somebody. There's people that are just locked in and said, oh, you want me to pray for someone? Okay, well, I'll pray for someone so he'll get saved. Holy Ghost is going to get him. Get him by the hook of his nose. Get him to the foot of the cross. He's going to get saved. Are y'all with me? But what I'm saying to you is if we don't ever operate in faith, if we never utilize our faith, we never stretch our faith, we never move in any area specifically, we're just shotgun shooting broad spectrum, you're never going to develop that area of your faith. And I'm going to tell you something, none of us have it all. None of us have it all. That's why we need the body of Christ. I cannot do it all. I cannot do it all. I've got to have the body of Christ. I've got to have people that are believing and have faith built in areas that You know, everybody else said, man, brother, you pray. I'm going to, yeah, support you. You pray. Amen? An example. And that was the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, but John G. Lake, great minister from the past, him and his wife, he would, the stories I read about him, he would sit in the morning and eat breakfast and drink his coffee and read the newspaper, and then when it came time, there'd be a line outside of his house for prayer, sick people. And before he would lay hands and pray on any of them, he had his wife pray for him. Because his wife had a real spirit of discernment on her. And so she would just go down the line. She'd just look at the first one and said, okay, now, you'll be healed when my husband lays hands on you, but, you know, you're having an affair, and you got to repent of that, and you got to get your life right. The person would go, and if they fell on their face and repented, then they'd go to the next room, and he'd lay hands on them, and just, boom, they'd be healed. But his wife never laid hands on anybody to be healed. You see what I'm saying? Nobody has it all. Beware of the person that has it all. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And he wants to work through the body. He wants to work through all of us. But it's up to us to build our faith in the areas that we're encountering. John G. Lake, if you read his whole life story, the reason why he had such a strong faith for healing was that he had like 11, 12, 15 people in his family, and they had children and whatever, and they were always sick. Everybody was sick. Everybody was dying. Everybody was sick. His whole life he grew up with just the misery of hearing somebody dying in the other room, you know, and he hated sickness, and he just was something on him, and that was what drove him to be the man of God that he was, because he hated sickness, until finally one day the faith kicked in and the gifts of Spirit started flowing, and he starts laying hands on people, and people are getting healed, and 1 year, over 200,000 people were miraculously healed. Now, I don't know if he was that good of a preacher. I don't know. I've read his sermons and stuff. They were pretty good, but I mean, I don't know if he was that good of an orator or a speaker, or if he could hold people's attention, or I don't really know if he was that great of an evangelist in the sense of delivering a message. I mean, folks, listen to me. I'm just telling y'all, if you should, on Saturday nights, if you're home, you should turn on the Billy Graham Classic Crusades. You should watch Billy Graham in operation, because I'm telling you, the man does not deliver that good of a message. No slam on Billy Graham. He stands up there and his hair's waving in the wind, and he gives that deal, and then he says, and as they play, just as I am, and he's come from the dark, and he's come from over, we're waiting for you, and they just flood down there. And he did not. Man, I know preachers that could deliver a lot better message than that. But it was the Spirit of God, and he stepped in, he got on the bus at the right time and started going down the road in that bus with Jesus at the right time, surrounded himself with men of faith, and they had one mission: to get people saved. Then they had all kinds of, you know, leading them to churches, and they had other organizations and good things that they did in their whole program. But I'm just saying, the point I mean is that he had faith. Man, the man, after he'd seen it that many years and all, you can't tell me that he didn't step to the pulpit and expect people to get saved. Right? And he always played just as I am. That was it. He never varied from that. When he found something that worked, stuck with it. If you go look at his every one of his crusades, and I don't want to say everyone, but the majority of his crusades is the same way. Somebody's going to get up and give a testimony. They're going to have a certain amount of singing. They're going to have Beverly Shea get up there, and he's going to do his deal. And then Billy Graham's going to preach, and then they're going to sing just as I am, and then bless God, the altar call is given, and they're going to flood down there. But when something works, why change it? But faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you go read Billy Graham's life and his story, he came to that place and it was burning in his heart, and God, you know, took him and molded him and worked him into that place. There was faith to do it. And what I'm saying to you, you shouldn't be operating in your life in areas that you don't have any faith to be in. Now, let's take faith in a real simple form, all right? I was visiting with my mother today, and I was laughing. I said, you know, as I get older, Like I have a picture of my father on my father and my mother, a family portrait on our wall. And I walked by that and I always looked at my father and I'd say, you know, he's an older guy. And then one day I went to figuring it up and my God, I'm older than he is in that picture. But I still view him as an old, not an old man, but you know, he was older. And now I realize, my God, I'm older than he is. I'm like 5 years older than he is in that picture. And it shocks me. And I tell my mother, I was telling her today, I said, when I know who I am and I know what I look like until I see a mirror. And then I look in the mirror, I'm like, who the heck are you? I mean, well, who are you? Because I'm like inside of this stupid earth suit looking out of my eyeballs. Yeah, I'm just looking out my eyeballs is all I'm doing. The real me on the inside ain't nothing like this. Right? And then I see a mirror and I'm like, who are you? But leave me alone, just no mirrors, no glass, no anything, no reflection of me. Man, I'm not me. I mean, if I was going to do a sketch artist and said, what did this guy look? What do you look like? It wouldn't be looking like me. Bulletproof, I'm telling you. Okay. So, but faith is the substance of things. So, for I really know who I look like on the inside. Are you with me? That's not that. I don't care that my eyes see it. That's not me. I'm not delusional. I just, on the inside of me, that's not who I feel like. That's not what my faith is. That's not what's in me. Or outside of me. Right? Because when you start to walk in faith in areas, and you keep walking in faith in areas, like every morning when I open up my Bible, I fully will expect God to speak to me. I'm not going to, there's not a morning that I'm going to leave, that I'm not going to read the word, that I'm not going to say, that's good, Lord. I like that one. Yeah, I see that. I see what you're saying there. That's amazing. Wow, I need that in my life. Father, I just stop right now and pray for that. Come on, Holy Ghost, make it happen in my life. Every morning it's going to be like that. One time, Brother Ivan and I got to messing around, and he said he was talking about preaching a message based on anything. And so I threw a spoon out, and I said, "All right, what's the message off the spoon?" And so in just a second, he said, man, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you what, you come to Jesus now. Man, you have the word of God on the inside of you. So he threw a knife on the table. And said, oh, I said, man, that's an easy one. I said, iron sharpens iron. Boy, you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. You got to sharpen in your life. You know, I mean, it was just like, because we see it that way. No matter what you do, bottle of water. Oh, man, the water of the Spirit of God, you know. It doesn't make any difference. I can see it. Because why, man? A million messages are preached. You have got to develop the faith on the inside of you. It can't be a life living with your questioning this and that and why this and why that and oh God. Yeah. You just got to be a life lived by faith. And the faith has to be, look what it says. Faith is the sums of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not just dreaming. It's not just hoping. It's when it becomes a reality that God will provide your every need. By faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the Word of God. That the Word of God has contained within it everything that it needs to bring about evidence in your life for what the Word's stating. You ever notice Jesus, when he prayed for people, he didn't pray. I mean, we don't see written that he prayed long prayers. The withered man with his withered hand sitting there. Jesus looks at him and sees his hands withered, sees the Pharisees. He knows what's in their heart, and they're all saying he's going to heal on the Sabbath. He says, stick forth your hand. Be healed. Boom. He didn't have to get in there and pray himself into faith. Now, Father, I know you sent me to earth. I know, Lord God, that you called me to come down to preach to these people. Tell them all, Lord, I know that you are the God, the maker of all things. And I thank you, Lord, you see this man. You see his withered hand. You see. He didn't get in there. He didn't have to. See, what we're doing in all that is trying to work up our faith till we feel something, and then we're praying and hoping that it's going to work. But Jesus didn't operate like that. Jesus went to the fig tree and said, man, pff, curse you, wither and die. Boom, died. And what we've got to do in life is we have to challenge ourselves. We have to challenge ourselves on what we're believing, how we're believing things. And I talked about Sunday about having confidence. And if you're the half glass empty person all the time, everything's like, you've got to change it. You've got to break that in life. You've got to find you a spot. You've got to find you a target to start shooting at. And right there, you start to build your faith because you're going to see God move in that situation. Then when you see him move in that situation, then you can believe for another, and then you can believe for another, and then you can go on, and then you can start to expand. Then you can start to get bigger, but you've got to. Because if you're not moving in that one area, then the Word of God can't get the foundation going of faith and come in your life and actually creating and bringing into existence what the Word wants to happen. When I was a kid, I didn't realize that we were just country and that we were poor. I never realized that. Never felt poor a day in my life. Never felt like we didn't have anything a day in my life. When I look back from where we are now to then, I realize that my dad, you know, he made everything work, and he had old tractors and old stuff and all like that. And I always remember, I'm sure he learned this from his father, that when it came time to plant, that he would take a burlap toe sack. Of course, you know, in those days, everything, there was no plastic sack. Everything was a toe sack. So we had toe sacks everywhere. And so he'd take that toe sack and he'd take it over to the hydrant and knock the dog's dish out of the way. I don't know what the dog drank after that, but he didn't have any water for a while. My dad would water this toe sack down, and he'd kind of wring it out, keep it moist, and he'd open it up, and he'd drop whatever we were planting, getting ready to plant oat or wheat or whatever, seeds in that thing, and he'd put the burlap sack back on there, and then he'd go out there every morning, and he'd keep it moist, and then he would, after so long, he would open it up, and then he'd count the seeds and see what the germination was, because in between those two burlaps, you know, the seed would start to sprout, and he'd see the seed was good or whatever, and he'd do that. You know, it was, he did it, why? Because there could be seed that was faulty, right? Didn't have whatever it took. I mean, I don't know the molecular structure of seeds to really explain why one wouldn't germinate, but whatever was wrong with it, he'd want to see what his germination rate was going to be. And so you got to understand something. The Word of God has 100% pure germination. It'll always work. That I can tell you, can put your faith into. The Word of God will always work. It's never going to fail. I love it when you read in the Old Testament, you know, where a prophet prophesies something's going to happen, and then you see, you know, several chapters later, then God makes it happen. And then if you really go back and look at that, it could have been 50, 60, 100 years, 400 years comes to pass. The Word of God is always going to come to pass. The Word of God is always going to work. It's never going to fail. The only thing that can fail is, as my father with those seeds, if he'd have gone out there in day two and said, look, they didn't germinate, and thrown them out, he may not have gave it time. Or if he'd let the burlap sap get dry. This has nothing to do with anything, but I can remember one time when I was a kid, we were planting. My dad always had a big garden, and we were planting okra seeds. And he was determined, and I don't know, there may be validity to this, that okra seeds had to be soaked in milk. Anybody ever heard that? So before the okra seeds would be planted, he always had a bowl that he had okra seeds in the milk. And I can remember going out there one day And we were getting the rows ready, and we were hoeing it down. And when we looked over there, the old hound dog we had gone over there and drank the whole bowl of milk, seeds and all. My dad was so mad. But again, it's one of those faith deals. He was convinced it had to be soaked in milk before you could plant okra seeds, or the okras wouldn't grow. I don't know if it had any, you know, whatever. That's where his faith was. The Word of God is going to produce 100%, and the Word of God can create worlds. When God created the world, He spoke into existence the world. But what did He speak? He spoke His Word. And His Word created worlds. Right? All the gazillion stars. And y'all may have to check this one out, but I read some article the other day and it was so whatever, blew my mind. I couldn't even fathom it really about this new telescope they've got. Somehow, I don't know, it's in South Africa where they've got it out on a whole plane and it's a radio telescope or something and it's supposed to be able to see farther into space and everything. And they came up that oh, it was ridiculous. It's like, they've already found 2,600 more galaxies or something that was ever known before. And I'm like, I think everybody keeps thinking they're going to someday get a rocket and they're going to keep going and they're going to get to the end of, you know, because they can't fathom that it could go on. But when God spoke it into existence, it just, gazillions of stars and planets and everything just got put into it by His Word. The Word of God can create in you a world, a new world, a world of victory, right? Of whatever needs to be. Now He says that by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So it never started out. Listen, you cannot look to determine with your eyes what your future will be. Because God doesn't need to look and see things before they're created. We do. Because we don't have any faith. Y'all follow me? Okay. If you go through his next verse 4 here, it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith he offered. In other words, there was something in Abel, that was saying, I just know this is what's going to please God. Cain and Abel are a perfect example of walking either in the spirit or walking in the flesh. It's a perfect example. The more we walk in the Spirit, and when I say walking in the Spirit, what do I mean? Walking in faith, trusting in God, believing that what we do and say has an effect on our lives and our future, the way we, you know, everything that, you can just go on and on and on. By walking in the Spirit, I'm not talking about on the clouds, you know, you ascended into heaven and you're high above all everything else. I'm talking about every day of your life, you're living your life. Simplistically, this is the definition of walking in the Spirit. Every day you're living your life with faith towards Him. Right? I mean, isn't that simply it? We move in faith. We act like He's sitting in the seat beside us. I had a person the other day challenge me about legalism. And they were basically trying to challenge that I was too liberal. And I said, let me just put it to you this way. I just want to live every day like Jesus is right with me, so how could I go wrong? I'm not trying to do things to please Him. I'm just trying to be with Him and be pleasing. But they can't accept that because they're trying to look with their eyes and say, this is how it has to be. If you did this and this, well then yes, you've arrived. Well, you don't know where a person's heart is. It's about the heart. It's not about what you could do. A person can do everything perfectly. Look just perfect, do everything perfectly. But if their heart's wrong, their heart's wrong. I don't know what really knows the heart's God. Hello? It says, by faith Enoch was taken away that he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that what I'm talking about? I mean, to me, that is a cool testimony. You pleased God so much that he wanted you to live with him rather than be with everybody else. God just said, I got to have you with me. You're an encouraging sort of guy. Come on up here with me. I don't need you up here with me. But what did it? Faith. Years ago, when I was in elementary school, there was a teacher, and I didn't know it then, but you know, he'd probably gotten saved, and he was probably on fire for God. But he made a statement that got around school that he was praying for his transmission of his car to work. The transmission went out. He's praying for his transmission. And I remember even as a kid hearing that, I thought, silliest thing I ever heard. I'm like, what do you mean pray for transmission? You take it to the mechanic. You don't pray for a transmission. And I've thought about that so much, about how I perceived that man, that he was crazy. And now, my God, how many things have I prayed for that, you know, I make him look totally and completely sane. But because I didn't have any knowledge, didn't know what was going on. And that's the way the world sees it. The world's like, it doesn't work that way. But it does. And it does to the person who produces faith. And what I'm saying tonight is that you may not always, you know, have the privilege of getting to walk in all the gifts of the Spirit and all the things that's happening, boom, bada, bing, bada, boom. But we all have to live by faith. And you're going to see things happen in your life as you get honed in your faith and believing and trusting God for everything. Now, right off the bat, I'll just kind of back up here for a second. Like I said earlier, we all have to have each other, all right? But I believe with all of my heart that we are geared, some of us are geared to believe certain things easier than other people's are. And you need to find what's easy for you. You need to really develop it. And when you develop it, you fit with that faith somewhere in the body for somebody else. And you may not have all the faith for this, but you got the faith for that. But they got the faith for that, and you got it for this. You see what I'm saying? And it all starts meshing and fitting into pieces. And it starts making the one big picture of what God wants to do. So don't ever look at somebody and say, I can't believe they can't. No, well, why don't you just believe in God for that? I can't believe you can't believe God for that. Well, that just may not be where they're at. Find out what they are believing God for, where they can trust him in, and then develop that. It's like Maggie here. I mean, I just got to say, Maggie, I have thought so many times about that. Here we sit as a little church, and we got a flag that flew over the Capitol back there. And how many huge churches would have tried to do something or, you know, do this or do that or give their way or buy their way or do whatever to get influence like God has given you. And if that's not faith and that's not supernatural, man, I ain't never seen it. Because, I mean, you're good, but you ain't that good. Right? Open doors and bring things in. And I can remember when we went to the Capitol for the very first time. And we loaded up and we all went up there. And out of all of that, you came out and said, this is what God called me to do. And you stepped into it. And you just went, and your faith is developed in that area. Your faith is there, and like you just told me, you're getting ready to go back to the Capitol and pray over it. And all, man, things are going to move because God has called you and ordained you for that. And there's an area of faith and that anointing to do that. Now, you know, Guatemalan building a church down there. Well, You may not be at the same place I'm at. You know what I mean? But that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. We do what God called us to do, but we walk in faith in it. And not one's greater than the other. And that's the cool thing about the body of Christ. And that's the cool thing about God, is He just wants you to develop and to believe in that. And I just believe some of us, we just got an easier in some areas than others do. And that's what makes us all the body of Christ. So you got to find it. You got to develop it. You got to ask the Holy Ghost to birth in you and show you and open up your eyes to see. And then you got to, man, you got to sink your teeth into it. You got to find all the scriptures about it. You got to find all what God says and about that deal. You got to get that word flowing in. You got to get that word going. And then I'm going to tell you something, man. It's going to be unbelievable. And I really, truly believe what will bring revival here is when all of us are at that place that we need to be. Bible always says, man, you know, judgment begins in the house of God. Right? Judgment begins in the house of God, so that means it begins with us. And so, I want to skip down, because right here, He said, but what more shall I say after he's gone through all these people? By faith they did this. And he says, and what more shall I say if time would fail me of telling of Gideon, Barak, Samson, of Jephthah, and of David and Samuel, of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the fight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. I want to tell you something. I don't believe that the book, the chapter of Hebrews 11 is through. I believe it's ongoing. I believe that it's still being written in heaven today. And God's putting your name in there. And saying, you know, by faith they did this. By faith they did that. By faith this conquered. By faith they conquered this. By faith they went and did this. Amen? So let's strive for that. Something we all need to be striving for is to get to that place in our lives. Amen? Now, let me finish with this, 13. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. Is that faith? They hadn't got to walk in it yet, but it was so real to them, they'd see it. This is where it's going to be. So, you know, I just challenge you. By faith, get into the things that God's got for you. By faith, begin to forget what you see in your eyes in the mirror and begin and know what you see by the Spirit. That's what you walk in. That's what you speak. That's what comes out of your mouth. That's what you live in. That's how you walk. Amen? So praise God. The only area I can say that you could get in trouble is that if you don't remember your limitations, you know, you may think, read the scripture, I can leap upon the wall, but you really probably can't. Ain't leaping on no wall. Doing good. I got up on a scaffold the other day and almost fell off, so there wasn't much leaping on walls, okay? By the Spirit, I'll leap on a wall. But wisdom says, let the young guy get up there and let him run across the wall. Somebody has to direct the army. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. We got our usher back tonight. Somebody might need to help him there. Exercising.